oh wow, you can tell a kid made it, but also it draws you in seeing these pictures and knowing that they've drawn themselves in there.
Hey, I've got an idea how you can get your class in shape for this new year.
And now it's time for another Edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no others, yep. With Tim and Scott. You know what you got.
All right, Scott, you have an idea, or are we going to hear from somebody else's idea?
Not when we have this guest on. I'm not sharing ideas, Tim. We have the man with all the amazing ideas. Well, not all the amazing ideas, but every one of his ideas, I feel like, is so incredible. So should we get at it or talk a little bit about something that we need people to sign up for first?
Yeah, let's talk about Global School Play Day first. That's coming up this February, and it's approaching quickly. How many people have already signed up, Scott?
Tim, it's over 77,000 kids. And I don't have a count on the number of nations, but last year we had over 500,000 kids from 72 nations whose teachers said, you know what, we want to participate. And I'm sure it was more than that. I know people are participating without signing up, but we want you to sign up so we can say, hey, world, unstructured play for kids' mental health, for their physical health, for being balanced in life is vital for their development. And so we want to say, yes, we're part of this grassroots effort. It costs absolutely $0 to participate in. Yet reaps major benefits for not only you as a teacher, educator, principal, superintendent, but massive rewards for your kids.
Right on. So go to globalschoolplayday.com, register your class, your district, your city, whatever you can register, and that way you'll add your voice to the mix. So today on our show, we have the incomparable Tony Vincent with us today.
Woo-hoo!
So Tony,
hello.
Tony is a guru when it comes to educational technology, and he has inspired me in so many different ways. We had him on the show not too long ago, and he was talking about, you know, making your own avatar and how to do artwork using your iPad. And then I got absolutely obsessed with that. I spent like hours and hours and hours. Thanks a lot, Tony.
It's what I do.
Create new obsessions for educators that are really into education.
Right
on. Tony, you tell us, first of all, give us a little background to the audience about you and where your passion lies in education.
Yeah, I started out teaching fifth grade in the late 90s. Did that for several years. Then I was my school's tech coach. Then I became a consultant. And the last school year, the 2018-2019 school year, I went back to fifth grade after being away from classroom teaching for 15 years. And now I'm back to consulting and just newly inspired and excited to help teachers.
Awesome. We need as many tools to in our toolkit, so to say, as possible. And you give us some great tools. So I'm sitting there, I'm looking at Twitter, and I see this tweet come across from you, and it's talking about something called Shapegrams, and I'm like, what is this? I want to check it out because, well, basically, you're in my feed, like, you're like in my bonus feed, is like, where do I get ideas from? Mm-hmm. And I see this Shapegrams thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Tony, this is like your new thing right now, right?
It is, yeah. So Shapegrams actually came about summer 2017, I was teaching an online class, my Classy Graphics online workshop, and I wanted a way for teachers to learn the drawing tools in Google Drawings, which are the same tools that are in Google Slides and similar to what you find in PowerPoint and Keynote. So I made up these little like kind of clip art kind of looking pictures, and they got a little bit harder every week throughout the class, and the teachers liked recreating them. So when I went back to the classroom last year, I thought, oh, I'm going to have a Shapegram every week. So we had ShapeGram Wednesdays, and it was the bell work for my fifth graders. They came in Google Classroom was a new document for them to copy. And on one side of the document is a picture, and the other side is blank. And that's where they recreate it. And I gave them some instruction and some design tips. And now what you saw on Twitter is that I've packaged it up for teachers to make kind of like grab and go. Like, teachers don't have to know anything really about drawing, about Google drawings, because I include a video and design tips, and it's has a scope and sequence to it where we build on what we've learned week after week until kids are making amazing things.
So Tony, take us through, this is, you know, a podcast, so it's an audio format, and we're talking about something very visual here. Take us through, what does this look like for a kid who's in fourth grade, seventh grade, ninth grade, whatever? The teacher sends them this file, and then what happens? Like, explain this process to us.
Yeah, it's a Google Drawings file, so if it's distributed through Google Classroom, students may make a copy or get a copy. So however they get a copy of this, and then they can work within it. And then just made out of shapes are these pictures. So then students get to learn the shape menu, they add shapes, resize them, color them to make a replica of the original. And if they get stuck, they can go to the original, ungroup it, and kind of move shapes out of the way and see, you know, kind of what's underneath, because there's a lot of tricks with overlapping shapes to get the picture that you want. And with Google Drawings in this file that students have, they can scroll over to the left of the canvas, and there's a video that's embedded that I make, usually about 5 minutes long, to give them some tips. And there's some other tips on that left side. And then for kids who might finish early and to make some other kind of reading, writing, math connections, on the right side of the canvas are some related activities, some videos, extra reading that has to do with the picture. For example, a recent ShapeGram was a robot. So there's this cute robot that's on the canvas, and then there's room to the right of this robot to recreate it. There's a video that I show you how I've drawn the robot in a screencast, and then on the right side is a little reading, predicting activity where students think about the three laws of robotics from Asimov, and then after they make the predictions, then they test them, and they can reveal the answers. So it's an activity that I know as a classroom teacher, I would so appreciate, because students get to be creative, they learn skills, and it's just really so fun. I was talking to a teacher at my kids' school today when I was picking them up, and she said, yeah, we're doing ShapeGrams. And she says, I let them talk when we do it, and none of them talk because they're so into it, because kids like drawing. They're drawn to this sort of thing. And then it only leads to the students being able to then, you know, they can draw what I've drawn, but then they can make their own and put their creative spin on them. By the end of the school year last year, my fifth graders, you know, I could say, oh, we just studied the rock cycle. Go in and make a diagram of the rock cycle. Like, boom, they could make it all from shapes. They didn't need clip art. They could go through, they could show their thinking just in drawings using those tools. And they could make things for their own posters. They made themselves into avatars using shapes. I was just so impressed with what they came up with and the different ways that they chose to use their new drawing superpowers.
Hey, Tony, one of the things we like as a class, my fourth graders, is we do love those videos. And I always start out with the whole class. And we love the jokes, and we love the walk through step by step. I mean, I didn't have to know how to do Google Drawing, because it's such a well done, detailed, step-by-step process that my kids see you sharing. And I really love when I can bring other voices in. They are, I mean, probably 6 weeks into school right now, they're probably already tired of my voice, or they're able to tune me out. So to have your voice come in, to have that outside voice, is really super successful. One of the things that I think this could be really powerful for, if teachers are looking for not just to use in their own classroom, is doing this with buddies, with your buddies' class. I can see this being a really powerful way to have older kids working with younger kids and having that connection and using that tool to work together to help create this and learn, and how that could actually extend and create a bigger, better family at your school.
Yeah, we did that last year. We have first grade buddies in fifth grade, and they showed them how to draw some simple things. And then it was funny, once the first graders left, the fifth graders like, wow, they really didn't know anything about how to do that. Like, yeah, that's why you're there, to help them.
So what kind of things have your kids created as a result of developing this skill? You mentioned the one idea that you had, the one thing that kids did, but have there been other fruit, I'll call it, of your efforts in this area that you've seen in the kids?
Yeah. I taught at an international baccalaureate school. So fifth grade does their exhibition. And that's really kind of a giant genius hour kind of thing. So students research on something they're passionate about, and then based on their research, they take action. And one group found that mothers who smoke around their children, well, those children are more likely to grow up and smoke, and they felt passionately about stopping smoking. So they came up with a flyer, and they wanted it to be something that would speak to these parents and that they could leave at a doctor's office. And so they used their Shapegram skills to draw themselves as cartoon characters. And they had a speech bubble that said, we ask you, please, please don't smoke around your children. And here's why. And they listed the reasons. And, you know, if you could see this document, you could tell like, oh, wow, you can tell a kid made it. But also it draws you in seeing these pictures and knowing that they've drawn themselves in that. Or there was another group that loved animals. And so they ended up researching animal abuse, and they were appalled that in Iowa, where I live and where they live, is that animal abuse is just a misdemeanor. And in most states, it's a felony. And they thought, that's crazy. Like, there should be more punishment for animal abuse. And so they collected signatures to send to the legislature because they wanted to change this law. And they made a sticker that was completely in Google Drawings of looked like somebody holding up their hand saying stop with an animal. And then they had some text that said stop animal abuse. It was a really cool sticker that they designed. We cut out with the Cricut cutting machine, and they handed those out at exhibition night and gave them to people who signed their petition. Their creative expression and the products that they made just kind of seeped into projects like that. And then they just like to do it on their own. You know, we have indoor recess. They would be working, making their own Shapegrams. And all summer long, my fifth graders, now sixth graders, they're still sharing files with me. Like, look what I made, Mr. Vincent, look at this. And it's like, I see it. And I'm like, well, that looks like, that doesn't look like something you could do in Google Drawings, because now they're using, you know, they're tracing and they're using the curve line tool. They're doing all these like advanced techniques. They've taken it even further than I ever did with Shapegrams, just because they're so interested in it.
Now, is the for those that have different devices with their kids in the classroom, are they able to use Google Drawings with iPads, with Chromebooks? I mean, is it a little tricky, you know, manipulating the trackpad or the mouse or whatever to do something like this? Or is this something that's good for kids on no matter what device they're using? I mean, can they do it on a phone, you know?
Yeah, I really wanted them to be able to do them on any device, but I chose Google Drawings for the format for several reasons. And Google Drawings does not work great on a phone. With the iPad OS 13 update, it works a little bit better in the browser, but there's not a Google Drawings app. So laptops, PCs, Macs is great for it. iPads, not so much, unfortunately. And I thought about converting them into Keynote or Google Slides app, but there's a lot missing from that Google Slides app. That, and then my videos being so specific to the one app, the, you know, buttons and things, and options are either missing or they're in different places that it would really make managing all that hard. So I decided just to focus right now on devices that can do Google Drawings, and maybe I'll expand out next year. But as I was saying earlier, it takes me 2 or 3 days to put together one of these. Mostly the video takes a while. But I don't have time to put them all in other formats yet. Maybe I'll get there.
Now, I know my kids do their Shapegrams on our Chromebooks. And even though with a trackpad, they're able to do the tasks. And I think it's the power behind it is that they are learning how to do it and they carry that forward. And I see my kids, when they do get free time on their Chromebooks, I do see them going into drawings now. Whereas I don't think that is necessarily a top choice, you know, when there's a lot of other things they can choose to do on that Chromebook.
Yeah. And I think one of the best things, you know, they learn a lot of Google Drawing skills, which transfer to other apps as well, but that they start to see the world in shapes. And that's what so much feedback I'm getting right now on it is that, wow, you can look at any picture and realize, oh, I could probably make that. There's this shape, there's that shape. And so it opens up to kids realizing, wow, you know, maybe my drawings don't turn out the way I want to when I draw by hand, but when I'm using a computer and I've got access to these shapes, I think I could do this. I can make this.
Let's wrap this up with like, let people know, how do they get started on this? Website, is it free? Does it cost money? How much does it cost?
Yeah, so shapegrams.com is the place to go. And if you click get Shapegrams, you don't have to sign in or anything. You get to do the first three. And even I think if you do the first three and stop, that students have learned a ton. There's a few keyboard shortcuts in there that are useful, and they get the gist of digital drawing. But then I have one a week for this school year, so it'll be about 35 of them, and that's $35 to access past the third one. So free for the first three, and then $35 a year for a license to use the rest.
And how long does it take the kids to do one of those?
It depends on the kids, because I have between second grade and in high schoolers working on these. Scott, you have some insight.
Yeah, no, I can say for my kids, depending on the student and how carefully they want to add their own touches, because I think it allows for that a little bit, maybe 20, 30 minutes. And at the end, they typically want to go forward and then make their own design off of that. They're like, I got it, Mr. Medley. Can I go try and make my own creations? And the additional activities that you have listed on the side of it are fantastic as well.
Yeah, this, I gave my students last year about a half hour. And then if they didn't finish, most of them didn't finish in a half hour, then they could come back when we had some other free time and work on it throughout the rest of the week.
All right. Thanks, Tony. So we're going to switch gears with you right now and play a little game. We know that you're not the only Tony Vincent in the world. Have you heard of any other Tony Vincents?
Yes. As much as I would love to be the only one.
Well, you're the best one. And in our book, Vincent on Earth. But there is another Tony Vincent. He's a Broadway actor, musician, and so on. Have you heard of him?
I have. He once asked me for my Twitter name. Just to give it to him. Didn't even offer any money. Just like, he's like, I'm in show business. It would mean a lot to me if I could have at Tony Vincent on Twitter.
So did you give it to him?
No. I said, well, I'm in education and my Twitter name's important.
That's right.
Now, like, he has TonyVincent.com. So I don't know. I could have maybe made a trade.
Well, we're going to ask you some questions about this not quite as important Tony Vincent. And we call our little game Winning a Tony Award. Scott, tell our audience who Tony will be competing for today.
Hey, Tony, you're going to be competing for Miss Nice, a fourth grade teacher in good old Beaverton, Oregon.
Ah, Miss Nice. That is great.
If you're able to answer 2 out of 3 questions correctly, then Miss Nice will be awarded. Well, Tony, tell Miss Nice what she's going to get.
A subscription to shapegrams.com.
Oh, that is awesome. I'm hashtag jelly.
All right, Tony, here we go with your first question. The not so famous Tony Vincent rose to fame when he got his first big role in a Broadway musical in 1998. Tony Vincent was cast, was in the cast of which Broadway musical? Was it A?
Fiddler on the Roof.
B?
Cats.
Or C?
Rent.
I'm going to have to go with C, Rent.
Well, that is correct. Scott's going to do the entire musical.
My horrible version of one of the songs from Rent right there.
All right. So question number two, Tony Vincent later landed the role of Galileo Figaro in the rock band Queen's musical. What was the name of this musical? Was it A?
We Will Rock You.
B?
We Are the Champions.
Or C?
I Want to Ride My Bicycle.
Well, you know, I get tagged every once in a while in tweets meant for him. It hasn't happened lately, but it used to happen a lot. And I feel like I saw like B, something about champions a lot. Is it B?
Well, not quite. What would your second choice be? We Will Rock You or I Want to Ride My Bicycle?
I would say We Will Rock You.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Right. We Will Rock You is the name of that musical. So your third question, Tony. Tony Vincent landed a role in another rock musical on Broadway. This musical was called American Idiot. What famous rock band was the inspiration for this musical? Was it A?
Led Zeppelin.
Was it B?
Green Day.
Or was it C?
AC/DC.
This one's Green Day. That one I know I've been tagged in a lot.
Oh, that. You had a little inside scoop. Yeah. Green Day. So, Scott, how did you do on our little ridiculous game here?
Good job, Tony. You got 2.5 out of 3 correct. That's good enough to be a winner.
Woo!
Yeah, congratulations.
That's so nice.
Yeah, you won nothing, but you're giving something away to Miss Nice up there in Beaverton, Oregon. Home of John Samuelson, too. We're excited for her to get a chance to see Shapegrams, Tony. And I've been loving it in my classroom, and I hope every single one of the teachers out there goes and grabs this up and tries it out. They get 2 free lessons, right? Is there 3 free lessons first before they have to subscribe?
3, yeah. So before you pay for it, try those 3. Make sure it works out with your situation and with your kids. And if you like it, you know, and I sometimes kids will beg, like, can we do it? Can we do it? There's a lot of classes that have Shapegrams Friday. And so Fridays are really fun on Twitter because the teachers will post pictures like, Shapegrams Friday, we're doing it. And it's neat to see. And, you know, one thing I just thought about with Shapegrams I didn't say is that there rightly so is a big focus on things like coding, right? With thinking of that. But you know, the other part of making our world go round, coders need designers. Mm. And you know, when I was looking for an app to make, I had to have a coder and I had to have a designer because that's the way the world works. So you know, if you do a lot of coding, maybe you want to also try out something with digital design, and Shapegrams is one way to do that.
Thank you so much, Tony. And why don't you give our listeners your just general website that you have all kinds of other amazing ideas located at?
Learninginhand.com is my home on the web.
Great. Go check that out and get some new ideas for your classroom. And if you have a chance to write us a review, that's how we get word out about all these great guests that we have on the show. So please do that. Unless you don't like the show, then we don't really want you to write a review.
Tim, we'll keep doing it. We've been doing it for 7 years.
So. Yeah, we'll just keep on making these things.
They don't like it, but they've listened to this point, right?
That's right.
All right. So thank you again, Tony, for being a guest on our show today. I wish I could do Shapegrams, but unfortunately, my district is iPad only. We don't do any laptops or Chromebooks or anything like that. So I'll just have to keep doing all your other great ideas with my kids that work on the iPads.
I'll keep sending you videos, Tim, of my kids loving it.
Make him jealous.
That's what brothers do.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. But most of all, thanks for listening.
Mom and Dad.
Big Ron here.
We love Mom and Dad.
Dinner done. I think I might change my name to Ron Bedley so I could be one of those Bedley brothers. Yeah. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley brothers, Bedley, Bedley brothers.